Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org. From the Barton Worley studios of Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. Happy New Year, I'm Blaine Singletary. Yes, we're 4 years into 2013 and it's still minty fresh. As always, we're looking forward to a great year for the arts in Abilene, as well as more classic and rising films in the Paramount film series. The Paramount's Robert Holliday will join us in the studio in just a bit to tell us all about this year's lineup. Also, we like to look back on what we've accomplished in this past year, and to do that, we're looking back at some of the main draws of last year's interviews. As you know, I ask that question a lot, and we'll listen to some of the more interesting responses to it in today's show. That's coming up right here in Eye on Entertainment. From Abilene Public Radio, this is Eye on Entertainment. I'm Blaine Singletary. A brand new year means a brand new lineup for the Paramount Classic film series. And while the lineup may be new, it's full of some legendary films of yesteryear. We're also seeing a return of what used to be a staple of the series, the Holliday Film Lectures, with Robert Holliday. He's the film director of the Paramount Theater, and he joins us now in the studio. Mr. Holliday, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Now, while you haven't been doing the film lectures, you've still been pretty busy behind the scenes of the film series.
Oh, always, yes. Always around. It's only been about two or three years that we haven't done the lecture before the films. But, of course, I'm always down there every time we have anything, practically live events or films. And as I said, I sort of get the film schedule for the whole year, and I'm always there for all the showings anyway.
One of your jobs, besides now, I guess, the film lectures, is you're kind of the guy who tracks down some of these films as well.
It is getting very hard to get the films anymore. As you well know, they're doing away with 35 millimeter completely. Yeah. And as I said, Barry Smoot is the one who sort of orders the films for us. He's our artistic director at the Paramount. And it's getting harder and harder. So, of course, we have enormously fantastic equipment now for Blu-ray and DVD. You can't tell the difference.
Well, there's something about the 35 millimeter medium that, you know, just kind of seeing, you know, the little crackles on film, you know, it just kind of
they wanted to know if we wanted to go the platter this way, and I'm glad we didn't go the platter. We still have 35 millimeter changeovers. And in fact, when we first took over, the 35 millimeter projectors used carbon arc. It's where you had to push the carbon down in it that would burn. And of course, when we did restore the theater, we didn't use the carbon arcs anymore, but we still have the 35 millimeter projectors that we use.
So tell us about a few of the films coming up this year.
Well, I think we have some tremendous films. We're leading off in January 11th and 12th, and that'll be my first lecture. And we're doing it on Friday nights only. We may do it on Saturdays, but for now, Friday at 6:30, 7 o'clock, Mike Schuller will be playing the piano as usual,
and at 7:30, the piano man,
and at 7:30, the film will start. But we're starting off with The Music Man. Of course, it'll be on the giant screen, and of course, it's one of the great musicals of all time, with the great Shirley Jones, and of course, the great Robert Preston, and a tremendous cast. I think that's one of the most perfect movie musicals ever made. It translated beautifully to the screen, and
we do have some films from that era. Also, I see The Wizard of Oz in the lineup. But we also have some more from more recent decades, like Alien, I noticed, coming up in October.
Yes, that's we always try to book a Halloween film. For years and years and years, we did The Changeling, and it's hard to get the rights to that now. George C. Scott's great film. Stephen King, on his recent documentary for Turner Classics, said the scariest film he's ever seen, they asked him, and he said it was The Changeling. And we showed it for years and years, sold out houses. And people would come back year after year after year to see it. But it's hard to get the rights to it now, so we alternate now. And, of course, we got The Artist in February, which is a new film that just won the Academy Award. The Wizard of Oz, that's what's amazing. Everybody's seen it 100 times or more. But a woman told us last time we showed it, she said, I had never seen it on a large screen. It's a different experience. I saw things that I'd never seen before. And so one of my main philosophies of film, and I've taught film as well as English and everything else, but one of my philosophies is that if you have never seen a movie, a film, until you've seen it in a theater. I don't care how many, and I've got a million copies of DVDs and lasers and VHSs.
And however I love good your home theater system is, it's nothing like a theater.
It's wonderful. But as I said, it's nothing like, and as I said, people like Spielberg said, he decided to be a filmmaker when he saw Lawrence of Arabia, but he said, don't see it on television or don't even see it on DVD. But, you know, it's meant for the huge screens, and the Paramount has a large screen. So you can't tell me you've seen a movie if you've only seen it on television. I'm sorry. You need to see it at the Paramount where you can see these classic films.
Just from talking to you this little bit here, I can tell you have a lot of film history up there. So
I went to the Paramount when I was 3 days old.
Really?
And I'm 72.
Wow.
The Paramount was, of course, there were so many theaters in downtown Abilene. There were at least, 15 or 20 theaters downtown Abilene. And there were at least about 12 drive-ins in Abilene. And so we grew up, of course, before television in a way. And so we went to the movie every night of our lives, practically the whole family.
Well, certainly an enriching experience. What would you say is the main draw of the film series this year?
The main draw of all of the film series is the people love the Paramount, but they also love, in other words, you'd really need to see a film with other people. For example, the other night we had almost a full house for It's a Wonderful Life, the same time it was on television a dozen times, and things of that sort. But one lady said, I will sit there in my easy chair by myself and watch it. But at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, people stood up and cheered. In other words, you need that electricity with an audience.
Well, Robert Holliday, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Blaine, thank you so much, and we hope that everybody will come and see these great films, and I'll look forward to seeing everybody there. And thank you for your time and your efforts.
That's Robert Holliday of the Paramount Theater getting ready to kick off another year of classic films in the Paramount Classic Film Series. It starts next Friday at 6:30 with The Music Man. The lecture begins at 6:30 with Robert Holliday. There will also be a performance by the piano man Mike Schuller at 7 o'clock, with the film beginning at 7:30. For more information and the complete lineup of this year's films, paramount-abilene.org. 2012, what a year it was. Not just for this show, but for entertainment at large. We had several blockbuster films, including The Avengers Initiative, which went off very well. And lots of other blockbuster news happened throughout the year, such as Disney buying out Lucasfilm and the promise of a seventh Star Wars movie. Those two examples there would make a year pretty awesome on its own. But of course, plenty more happened. And we covered just a handful of it on this show. So today, as a little bit of a year-in-review segment, we'll be taking a look back at some of the main draws from some of the conversations we had this past year. You may notice as that's the question I ask the most, what is the main draw? Depending on who you interview and their relation to the event, you're bound to get a variety of responses. So we went back and picked up a handful of those to take a look back at the main draws of 2012. Let's start off with one of the first big events of the year for Abilene, the second annual Outlaws and Legends. On the eve of that one-day, one-stage concert, we spoke to Mark Powell, who played a big part in organizing the event. And with that in mind, what would you say is the main draw of this concert?
Oh, well, obviously, the music in and of itself is the draw. I think the theme, there's a bunch of music fests people can go to, and they all are incredible in their own right. On this one, I try to really make this unique, pairing out, quote-unquote outlaws or guys that are heavy on the circuit right now with legends, quote-unquote legends, guys like Marshall Tucker and Gary P. and Joe Ely.
A month or two later, the Abilene Community Theater was putting on Just One of Those Things. That's actually the name of the show. The ACT is known for being open to many people in the community, and this time it gave a good start for a young up-and-coming director, Josh Tumblin, who graduated from ACU. Here's his take on what the main draw of that show was.
I think that if you're a fan of comedy, you should come see this show. It's got all kinds of comedy. I mean, it's romantic comedy. There's slapstick. There's puns. There's wit. It's really just a buffet of the different kinds of laughs you might find in any other show. And at the same time, it's a very much an homage to Casablanca and that kind of 50s, 30s, 40s era romantic comedies. So if you're a fan of that, that's here for you too.
One of the things we like to do on the show is keep our eye on events that many people might miss on an ordinary overview of the city. Like, for example, did you know that Abilene hosts a dog show? Not to mention, it's one that could get you qualified for the Westminster Abbey Dog Show. Around the summer months, we spoke with Pat Brannon.
The main draw is the bond between the people and their dogs. This is something that people can do together with their dogs, and it really strengthens their relationship. And there's nothing else that makes that human companion animal bond as working together towards a goal that both enjoy to do.
And as summer turned into fall and football season started, boy, does that seem like a distant memory now, we spoke with Mike Lunny, who is the director of the Wiley High School Pure Gold Band. Not only were they hosts of the UIL Regional Marching Competition, but they also hosted a marching festival, a sort of practice run for bands before the big competition. Here's what he had to say about the main draw of that.
I really think the main draw is twofold. One is just directors wanting to get critique and video of their band. And then number two, being able to run through in a UIL format so the kids understand how the timing's going to work and so they can go through the whole process. So I think those two things are the things that make it a real appealing contest for the bands. For the audience, it's just really a nice time to sit there between 3:30 and 9:30 and just watch as many bands as they want to. They come out of one band every 15 minutes.
And it would be a sin to leave out this year's big special interview with Sally Wolfson, the daughter of singer, songwriter, and musician Eric Wolfson. She joined us on our 150th episode, and while I didn't ask her the main draw of his music, I did ask her about the impact her very influential father had on her own life. And finally, what would you say is his lasting impact on you?
Gosh.
Take your time.
He's a very hard... It's very hard to sum him up. He was huge. He was just an amazing presence and so human at the same time. He was such a talent and such a genius, and then so human and lovable and kind. And it's very difficult for me to sum it up in a nice nutshell. I just feel like I'm rambling on.
I guess you could say then that he's had a world of impact on each individual person his music has touched.
Yes, it seems to. I mean, it does seem to really resonate with people, certain lyrics or the emotion of certain songs. He was very keen with all his music and his lyrics, this is in particular, that he always wanted to keep an ambiguity with his lyrics. He never wanted to say, oh, this song is about this, I wrote this about this. He always wanted the lyrics to act like a mirror to the listener and help and so that they could make their own interpretation. And I wonder if his focus with that is part of what has made them so impactful to people.
And while I wouldn't say that Ion Entertainment is life impacting, as was just described there, we are glad that you've at least kept us on your radio this past year and the years preceding it. And we hope that you'll continue to keep us on your radio every Friday around noon 15 for many years to come. That's all the time we have for this week. Join us again as we get back to what we do best, giving you the information and conversations about entertainment in our area and beyond. ION Entertainment is a production of Abilene Public Radio and the JMC Network. The show is recorded and produced at the Barton Worley Studios in the Don Morris Building on the campus of Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and as long as the main draws keep drawing themselves into existence, I'll have my eye on entertainment. Thank you for downloading this podcast of ION Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org.